We turn in God's holy word to the first letter of John and to chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, it is a short chapter. We read all of this chapter together, and later I'm going to speak from one particular verse from this passage. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Amen. We once again sing praise to God, now singing from Psalm number 51b and stanzas 1 to 5 of the Psalm, beginning on page 106 in our Psalters. Psalm 51b, stanzas 1 to 5, the tune is Belmont number 52. In this penitential psalm, David longs for and he prays for cleansing from his sins. He begins with the following words: after thy loving kindness, Lord, have mercy upon me, for thy compassion's great. Blot out all mine iniquity, me cleanse from sin, and throughly wash from mine iniquity. For my transgressions I confess, my sin I ever see. Cleansing from sin, forgiveness of sins, is the great need of all people, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Here is why the Bible and the Gospel are such good news. They tell us cleansing and forgiveness are possible, but only because of Christ and his atoning sacrifice for sins on the cross. It's through his blood that our cleansing, just as the psalmist's cleansing was possible, our cleansing is also possible. Psalm 51b, stanzas 1 to 5. Let us stand as we sing praise to God.
Oh, my inner.
Please be seated. Well, let us turn in God's word once again and to that same passage that we read earlier. And the verse I want to consider with you is 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 John 1 and verse 7. At every communion season, our focus should be on some aspect of the death of Christ. And for this communion season, I have chosen as our theme the cross of Christ. Our subject at our pre-communion service last Sabbath evening was from Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20 under the title of Peace Through the Cross. Our subject for this communion service is Purity by the Cross. Purity by the Cross, and taking as our text verse 7 of this first chapter of John. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And it's the latter part of this verse that speaks of purity or cleansing by the cross. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that is God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, behind those words, there is an assumption about us, an assumption about all mankind. And that assumption is that we are sinful. And for us to be accepted by God and to be able to enter heaven, we need to be cleansed from our sins. This reality that we are sinful merits some attention at the outset. And so we want to begin our subject from this verse with the heading, Our Poverty That Requires Our Cleansing. Our poverty that requires our cleansing. Materially, there are people in this world who are far from poor. There are people who are very wealthy, very rich. Many more people do live in abject poverty, materially, and a good many live somewhere in between. All of us here would be considered very wealthy by millions of people in third world countries who struggle to get enough food each day to survive. So materially, there are these differences among the people of the world. But spiritually, we all come into this world in abject poverty. Whether someone is a king or a multi-billionaire entrepreneur or an elderly woman living in a tent in a remote village in Africa with no easy access to water, or a respected middle-class citizen of a modern Western democracy, all, whatever their material status, on their own, are poor spiritually, are exceedingly sinful and unacceptable to God, who is holy beyond our greatest comprehension. This is the reality about all mankind. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And what is even worse is that the majority of people don't even realize their spiritual poverty, their depravity, spiritual depravity before God, who is so holy. The word sin has all but vanished from the vocabulary of the world today. You lift your newspaper and read it. You will read about crime. You'll read about misdemeanors, about offenses, but it's very unlikely you'll read any reference to sin. You have to turn to Christian literature to find the mention of sin. Since sin has by and large been taken out of the vocabulary of today's secular world, many people have very little concept of what sin is. To most, it's a rather antiquated word of a bygone age. But sin, although it is a very short word, just three letters in the English language, it is a very important word. Sin is very powerful. It causes great damage. And worst of all, sin separates us from God, and it bars many from heaven. Among those who do have some concept of sin, their concept of it is faulty. They see it as a minor issue. What is sin like? Well, imagine a litre jug of water, and imagine that that litre jug of water represents you. And then imagine someone coming along and they have a fountain pen that is dripping with ink. And with their pen, they drop just one drop into that litre jug of water. Is it just the top layer of the water that's contaminated? No. All of the water in that jug is contaminated. You would not want to drink any of that water. And that is the effect of just one sin on us. It contaminates us through and through so that we are filthy in God's sight. Isaiah could say in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." And we haven't only been contaminated by just one sin. We have been contaminated by many sins. Imagine what the water in the jug would look like with 100 drops of ink dripped into it. It would be much darker. It might even be black. And every person who has not had the cleansing of God that God provides through Christ appears just like that water with those drops of ink in it, black, sinful, and people desperately need cleansed from that sin to be accepted by God. There can be no heaven for anyone without cleansing from sin. And the good news is that it is possible to be cleansed from sin. But what we see in this seventh verse of 1 John chapter 1 is that there is a precondition for this cleansing from sin. So having considered our poverty that requires our cleansing, we want now to give some thought to this, the precondition for our cleansing. The precondition for our cleansing. And we see this precondition in the first half of the verse. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now we see from verse 5 that the pronoun he in this verse is referring to God. If we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Or to put it another way, for us to be cleansed from all sin, we must be walking in God's light. According to verse 5, God himself is light. And then in verse 7, he is in the light. He is both light and he is in light. The Bible tells us that everything about God is light. Psalm 104 verse 2 speaks of God covering himself with light as with a garment. And 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16 speaks of God dwelling in unapproachable light. When the Bible speaks of light in relation to God, it speaks of God's absolute goodness and moral purity. He is free from any form of darkness which symbolizes evil and wrongdoing and moral corruption. That God is light emphasizes his divine perfection and the absence of any flaw or blemish in his character. That God is light also emphasizes that he is the source of ultimate truth and wisdom. His nature is characterized by clarity and full enlightenment, and the revelation of divine truths that guide humanity. Without God's light, the world is in darkness in every sense. God is to this world spiritually what the sun in the sky is to this world physically. Without the sun, there could be no physical life, and all would be darkness and death. Without God, there is no spiritual light and no life. The world is spiritually impoverished because of sin, even spiritually dead. It speaks lies and lacks wisdom and cannot come to a knowledge of the truth. So here is the precondition for your cleansing from sin. You must see the light, and you must see God's light and believe that he is light, and that every denial concerning him is darkness. To walk in God's light is to believe in his word, to give his word priority before the word of this world, when that word contradicts God's word. To walk in God's light is to submit your whole way of thinking in accordance with God's precepts. And very especially, to walk in God's light is to believe in the gospel of his Son and to be converted to that gospel. It's to believe that Jesus Christ is the key and the solution to your problem of a sinful heart, and to yield your life to him, confessing your sins to God through him and repenting of those sins, trusting in the power of Christ's blood shed on the cross to cleanse you from all your sins. Since God, whose light has revealed Christ as Savior and Lord, then it is him, it is Christ who cleanses us. It is only through Christ that there can be cleansing and forgiveness of sins. And all other ways are an error. That means that no matter how religious people are otherwise, no matter what religion they follow, that religion can do nothing to cleanse them from their sins. The precondition for their cleansing is that they depart from whatever anti-biblical views they hold and that they walk in the light that God has given, in the light that God is. And those who walk in this light, John says, as he is inspired by the Holy Spirit, have fellowship with one another. They are in agreement with one another. They are on the same wavelength as one another, believing in the same things about God, believing that He is light. And so the question is, do you know this light? Have you experienced this light? Are you converted to Christ? Are you trusting in Christ for the cleansing of your sins? Are you walking in this light, this gospel light? And if you are, then God holds out to you a wonderful promise. And it's to that promise that we want to now turn. We've seen the poverty that requires our cleansing, the precondition for our cleansing, that God is light and we must be walking in His light. Thirdly, this seventh verse speaks to us about the power that assures our cleansing. The power that assures our cleansing. It's no small matter for a sinner to be cleansed of their sins. In an age of reusable rockets and artificial intelligence, we are sometimes given the impression that virtually nothing is impossible for our human race to achieve. But cleansing people from sin so as to make them fit for receiving eternal life and fit for heaven is something no man or group of men or human organization can ever achieve. No matter how advanced a society becomes, from the last decade of the 20th century up to now, scientific and technological progress has been nothing less than incredible. Aren't we amazed at it? But what hasn't changed in the slightest is that people are still sinners. There has been no progress at all in that particular area. Sin and evil flourishes just as much in this 21st century as it did in the first century. Man is simply not capable of solving this problem, the problem of sin that bars him from heaven and from being reconciled to God. Indeed, man himself is the problem. But thanks be to God, in His mercy and grace, He has solved this great problem of sin, sin that separates people from God, sin that condemns people to a lost eternity. And the solution is in the final words of this seventh verse. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin those who walk in the light as God is in the light. It cleanses those who believe in Christ and in the power of His blood to cleanse. This cleansing is not universal. It does not apply to everyone, but to those who believe, it cleanses them completely from their sins. And notice that the verse says, it cleanses them from all sin. How wonderful that little word, all, is included in the verse. There is no sin too great that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cleanse. Water, which contains impurities, can in certain cases be made totally pure again by adding certain liquids, coagulants, And Christ's blood is the precious and pure liquid that takes away all our impurities, all our sins, and makes us clean. So if you believe in Christ and you are trusting in the power of his blood to do this cleansing for you, it will be done for you. It is done for you. If you've confessed your sins and you're walking in the light, then the power of Christ's blood is effectual in your life. Christ also invites you to have fellowship with him, to feed upon his word, to grow in grace, to become more and more holy like him. And he invites you to eat and to drink with him at his table, because he recognizes you as one of his own, one who has been cleansed by his blood. On your own, you would be poor, but by Christ's blood, you've been made rich, and he welcomes you to know more of his goodness and his richness at his table. Amen. Let us together stand as we join together in prayer. Our gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful chapter, the first chapter of John. And we thank you, Lord God, for this seventh verse that we have considered. We've just touched upon it and some of the meaning of it. We thank you, Lord God, that the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, cleanses us from all sin. But Lord, we are aware of that qualification, that precondition. It cleanses those who have confessed their sins, who have repented of their sins. It cleanses those who know the gospel experientially and who are aspiring to live that gospel out in their lives. It cleanses those who are walking in the light, in your light, and who are in fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord our God, we thank you that life is not all doom and gloom. There is hope. And how sad it is that the world refuses to believe this beautiful gospel, the gospel that has been given for them, if only they would receive it. And Lord, your word tells us that those who reject Christ and turn to their own ways, turn to darkness rather than light, such cannot be forgiven their sins until that time comes when they would receive your light and receive Christ as their Savior and Lord. And if they do not, O Lord, then they continue under your condemnation and will ultimately be condemned to all eternity. Lord, let us not be counted among such, but be counted as those who are aware of our sins and have confessed them and love the Lord Jesus and desire to please him and serve him and honor him, that he might be exalted and that you would receive the glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.